Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. In our lessons that I've been teaching, we have preached through 1 and 2 Peter. As we ended the time in 2 Peter, we see that Peter spoke against the problem of false teachers. False teachers have always been with us. Ever since sin entered the world, Satan's desire is to deceive men so that they don't see the truth. And he does that through false teachers who keep men from hearing and understanding the truth. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, he'll say, "Then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus will smite with the voice of his mouth and bring to naught by his manifestation of his coming, whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all signs and wonders and lying signs, with all deceit of unrighteousness for those that perish, because they receive not a love of the truth, that they might all be judged. God sends them a working of error that they might be judged. All that believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now Timothy receives a charge to forbid men to teach a different doctrine. So we want to see the end of that charge, what that charge means. And we'll see that through 1 Timothy 1. We'll talk about verse 3 through verse 5. He'll say, "I exhorted thee to tarry at Ephesus while I was going to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine." He said, "I exhorted you." It's a strong word, the original language. It means he strongly persuaded and urged him to stay there, which would indicate that Timothy probably wanted to go on and be with Paul in Macedonia, where Paul was going. But he said, "You tarry in Ephesus." There's work to do in Ephesus. There's problems in Ephesus. The problem at Ephesus. Now, Paul's probably writing this letter just after his first prison release from Rome, which is several years after his third missionary journey, where he went through Ephesus. And then on his way back to Jerusalem on his third missionary journey before he was captured, he goes down to Miletus, having passed Ephesus, and called the Ephesian elders down to him. And he tells them in chapter 20, we're in Acts, verse 28, "Take heed to yourself and unto the flock over whom the Holy Spirit has made you bishops to feed." Actually, it means to shepherd. "Shepherd the flock of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in amongst you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, the elders, from among your own selves, shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw the disciples away after them." That problem, that was when Paul was going to Jerusalem, where he was captured. He was imprisoned in Caesarea. Then he went on to a couple years imprisoned in Rome. Now what he said, no doubt, has become true. So he leaves Timothy there to charge these men not to teach a different doctrine. Don't you let them teach a different doctrine. We don't know if these were the elders who would rise up from amongst them and teach perverse things, or who it was, but we know there's false teachers going on there, and he is to teach them or to command them, to charge them not to teach a different doctrine. The word charge is a military term from the original language. It means to give strict orders. And it has the meaning you give those strict orders with authority. Don't let those people teach a false doctrine. These opponents were not Gnostics, as some of the letters like Colossians written against the beginning of the Gnostic heresy. These are Judaizers. Many of the Jews became Christians, but they didn't leave their Jewish relation. They didn't realize that Jesus hung the law on the cross. And they still were commanding men that they needed to be circumcised, that they needed to obey the law of Moses, which caused great dissension. They were teaching, as we'll see in the next verse, myths and endless genealogies that had no part in God's word. You charge them not to teach a different doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questionings rather than a dispensation of God which is in faith. So do I now. I'm giving you that charge. Paul is dead serious. You don't let these people teach a different doctrine. They're teaching fables and endless genealogies. Fables are just myths. The rabbis would take the genealogies. Go back to Genesis 5. You have a whole list of genealogies from Adam to Noah. Then you get to chapter 10 through 11, you have the genealogies from Noah to Abraham. When you read 1 Chronicles, chapter 1:1 through chapter 9:21, all genealogies. He's the son of him. Try reading it. It's a long read in there in 1 Chronicles. Read when you get up and you're awake. Otherwise, you'll go to sleep reading all those genealogies. But these rabbis would take these things and make up stories, myths, and endless genealogies. False teachers coming up with myths. These people were Judaizers trying to make Christians rethink that Christianity wasn't enough. You needed to be obedient to the Mosaic law also. Paul says, you don't let these people teach. No teaching from these people. Understand, what I'm going to say is a hard saying, but it's what God says. All false teachers are servants of Satan. He has one purpose, to deceive mankind so that we don't receive eternal salvation in Christ. And all that Jesus did for us, as Randy just spoke of as we took the Lord's Supper. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. I don't know if I have that on there. There it is. I forget what I put on that thing. Paul says these are false apostles. They're deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, because even Satan fashioned himself into a minister or an angel of light. It's no great things, therefore, if his ministers, his servants, set themselves forward as ministers of righteousness. He'll tell Timothy, a few chapters later in chapter 4, Verse 1, he says, the Spirit has said, express in latter days, many shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men speaking lies. It's the hypocrisy of men speaking lies that bring forth these false doctrines from demons. Anybody teaching false doctrines is a servant of Satan. John said in 2 John 9, he that goeth onward and abideth not in the teachings of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching hath both the Father and the Son. If any man comes unto you and brings not this teaching, receive him not in your house and give him no greeting. For he that greeteth him is a partaker of his sins. False teaching is more dangerous than a murderer. You can take a knife, a gun, or whatever you want to, and shoot me, you only kill my human body, which is going to die before long anyway. But a false teacher condemns the one deceived to an eternity of hell. He's the dangerous one. He's a servant of Satan. The error, we'll see in verses 6 and 8, because that's where we know who these teachers are, desiring to be teachers of the law, although they know not what they say. Now he gives the charge. The end of the charge is love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. This is the end of the charge. What was the charge? Forbid men to teach a false doctrine. Because love wants people to be saved. So the end of that charge, all this charging to forbid men to teach a different doctrine, the end of the charge is love, a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. Paul tells the Galatian brethren who have the same problem, Judaizers. Chapter 1, verse 6. He says, I marvel that you're so quickly moved from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto a different doctrine, which is not another doctrine. Only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we, the apostles, are an angel from heaven, preaching to you any other gospel other than we have preached, let him be anathema, which means totally cut off and damned. The next verse he says, as we have said before, we say again, if any man preaching to you any gospel other than what you received, let him be anathema. False teachers send people to an eternity where they do not want to go. Timothy, you don't let them teach. There is only one doctrine that'll take people to heaven. As Randy mentioned this morning, the cost of that gospel was so extreme in God's own Son, we can't begin to grasp it. There's only one gospel. Jesus stands before the Jewish crowd and he says, if you abide in my word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's no freedom outside of truth. There's no truth outside of Christ's words. That's in John 8, 31, 32. Remember the passage that I hope all of you can quote. Jesus says in John 14, 6, I am. I am the way. Notice the definite article before every one of these statements. That means there's only one of them. I am the way. There's no other way. I am the truth. There is no other truth. I am the life. There is no life outside of Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, no man come to the Father but by me. He says, the end of this charge. The end there is the word which means the totality, the fulfillment of this charge is out of love, out of a pure heart. Love. I fear as an American in the culture we're raised in, when we hear that word, we don't have a clue what he's talking about. What picture comes in our mind of people that sit before that TV is a Hollywood love, a love of lust. Now it's a love of depravity, perverted sex. That word which talks about that love in the original language, eros, is lust, is love of lust. It's never used in the New Testament. There are three words to love used in the New Testament, all of which are good words, but have different meanings. And so often we listen to people talk about love and this and that, and they don't distinguish what love they're talking about. We say love, but the original language speaks of three good words for good love. And we see in 1 Corinthians 13:13, the whole chapter on love ends up by telling us, now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. The greatest of everything is love. It's the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart. Without love, we have nothing. If I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, know all mystery and all knowledge and have faith to remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. The love we're talking about is the greatest thing there is. Love is the most necessary thing. We're not talking about feeling love, which there's nothing wrong with feeling love. It's a great love. That's the reason you got married. That's the reason that you have close friends. This love is a feeling love. And there's also a natural love. The feeling love is the philia love. The natural love is storge, which speaks of family love. You don't try to love your children. When that child comes out, you love that child. That child loves their parents. They love their brothers and sisters. They love their close friends. That's a family love. It's natural. You don't have to try to do that. That's not the love we're talking about. We're talking about the love which you know we say all the time, agape love. It is the highest usage of the word love. Not there yet. I didn't know what I had next. Natural love. Natural love or feeling love depends on an outside stimulus. You love your wife because in your eyes she's lovely. You love your children automatically because the child is yours. But that's an outside stimulus that brings that about. The love we're talking about has nothing to do with any outside stimulus. It totally depends on you. Not feelings, which change. It is a total, complete decision of us. It's a determination to sacrifice ourselves for the other person's good. That's the love we're talking about. And it is totally within your own control. Because it is within your own control, it can be commanded. You don't command feelings. I can command you to like the person that you don't like, and you might act like you like him, but that didn't change your feelings. You can't command feelings. Feelings can be changed, but they have to be changed. As the verse that, what's his name, read? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good. In love of the brethren, that's one of the philia words. With the Delphos with it, which is brethren, I love the brethren, be tenderly affected towards one another. That's philia with the storge. That's the feeling with the natural love put together. In honor preferring one another. Paul in those two verses use all of the three good words. Chuck's his name. I've done that all my life. People I know as well as I know myself, when I get ready to say their name, it's gone. This love can be commanded. Jesus says, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Did you get that? Even as? That's binding. And he commands that. A new commandment give I unto you. Because he can command our determination. He doesn't command your feelings. But he commands that which we control. And that's what we decide. The decisions we make. You cannot be. Listen clearly. You cannot be a child of God without this love. Because the lack of this love is a violation of Jesus' command. And this is a sacrificial love. By the way, I am so thrilled to have an opportunity to be part of this congregation because this is the most loving congregation I've ever been to. Sacrifices everywhere for the good of the other people. It's amazing. That's the love that we're talking about here. Love describes our God. You want a description of God? God is love. God loves and shows his love and his attitude towards his Son. Jesus in John 17, verse 26, speaks of the Father's love towards him as he serves the Father. God's love towards humans, as Randy said, John 3, 16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave the most precious thing in the world. Romans 5, 8. God commended his own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he has that love towards all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14, 21, Jesus says, if you have my words and keep them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of the Father. All of you people that love Jesus, God the Father loves you, is what he tells us. That's to be our attitude towards one another. A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. He's not talking about the cross, that's past tense. Even as I have loved you. That's aorist in the original language, a past completed action. He's not talking about the cross. What's he just been doing? The creator of this world, the omnipotent creator that can speak this whole universe into existence. Where is he in this passage of chapter 13? Down on his knees with a towel and a pan of water. And he's washing fishermen's feet, a publican's foot, zealot's feet. He's washing Judas' feet, who will the next hour sell him to be killed. He says, that type of service is what I'm commanding you. Love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. It's our attitude towards all men. 1 Thessalonians 3:9. He admonishes you to increase in your love of the brethren and all men. 1 Corinthians 16:14, all that you do, let it be done in love. In 2 Peter 1, which we studied here a while back, the virtues that are to be added, he says, giving all diligence, we're about in verse 4 or 5, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these are yours and abound, they make you not to be idle or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love, he tops it all off with love. It is our attitudes towards our brethren. It is the essential thing that shows the nature of God in his people. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not does not know God. That it shows the essential nature of our God and Father. This love we're talking about can be known only by the actions that we see. I don't know your feelings. I don't know if you like me or don't like me. I don't know those things, but I know what you do. And this love can be and will be seen. God demonstrates that. We just read 1 John 4, 7 and 8. But verse 9 goes on to show where he says God is love. He says, herein is the love of God manifest in us, in that he gave his only begotten Son into the world. He sent him into the world that we might have life. Herein is love. Next verse, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. You don't have to question God's love. You can see God's love. It's on that cross. And no matter what takes place in our lives, we have the COVID, we're crippled, we're persecuted, whatever takes place, don't ever question God's love. Look at that cross. He sacrificed the most precious thing in this whole world, putting to an excruciating, painful death on that cross to prove to us He loves us beyond any questioning. His love, as we said in Romans 5:8, He demonstrates His love to us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is the first thing listed in the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Then He goes on, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. First one is love. All those fruits of the Spirit is to make us just like Jesus. When we receive all them, we walk like Jesus. Love is obedience to His commands. We don't have time to all this. His obedience to His command, He says, people writing notes, John 14:15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 14:23. If you love me and keep my commandments, the Father will love you, and we, the Father and Jesus, will come and make our abode in you. 15:10 of John. 1 John 2:5. All of them commands us to love. Colossians 3:14. Above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, put on love. Be fervent in your love one towards another, because love covers a multitude of sins. A good conscience. A good conscience, a conscience is only a good guide to the extent that has been trained in God's Word. A conscience is not trained, is not a good sign. The conscience is the God-given thing within us that makes judgment on all of our words, our thoughts, our deeds, our actions. We all understand this. We've all had a conscience condemn us, I'm sure. You try to do what's right and say what's right, and then words come out of your mouth and a sword goes right through your heart. What did I say that for? That conscience judges man, but that conscience is only good as a guide to the extent that it's been trained. Paul says, we're in Romans 7, Paul said that he didn't even know covetousness was a sin until he read the law. The law says covetousness is sin. So Saul could in his lifetime be covetous, and it didn't bother his conscience a lick until he read God's law. God's law is the standard. We have to be trained by God's law to know what's right. Faith unfeigned. Jesus stands before these Jews, John 8, and he tells them in verse 24, you'll all die in your sins except you believe that I am. You'll die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am, Hebrews 11:6, apart from love, you can't be pleasing to God, for they that come to God must believe that He is, and the rewarder of those that have faith in Him. Anything. A lot of things to say. Going to have to quit. Anything. But speaking the truth in love causes division. Elders, preachers, every one of you people that are in Christ, always on the lookout for deceptional teachings that's not according to truth. And it doesn't always come because of intention. Oftentimes it comes because of ignorance. People teaching things they don't understand. Romans tells us in 17, he said, I beseech you, Mark those that are causing divisions, the causing of stumblings apart from the words that are spoken, and move away from them. They're dangerous. Titus 3, verse 10 says, a factious man, that's a false teacher, after the first and second admonition, refuse, knowing that such a man is perverted and is self-condemned. Do you know the truth that saves lives? Have you obeyed that truth that seals lives? Have you yielded to it? Be obedient to Christ. Be obedient to His words. Let love be without hypocrisy, out of a pure heart, with a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. Walk in Christ. Get in Christ. Walk in Christ. There's nothing of any value outside of Christ. If you have any need to come to Christ, if you're not in Christ, you can be baptized into Christ. If you've wandered away, come home. There's nothing out there outside of Christ that's of value. Any need that you have, Sawyer's going to lead us as a song. Let's stand up and sing. Anybody with any need, come forward.